Bethany family, our Heavenly Father has blessed us with another beautiful day as we worship together at our drive-in service. And we also want to say Happy Father's Day to our dads and granddads. We celebrate you today, and we also remember those who are grieving for their father or perhaps their relationship with their father. And we pray that God will bring them comfort and healing to their heart. Our first song comes from the book of Mark, where Jesus repeats the words we find in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. If there ever was a time when we need to claim and proclaim our love for God and teach that love to our children and seek to live with every ounce of it, it is now. Join with me in singing, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength.
Is Trust in You, and it has a lot of lyrics that touch the heart of what we are experiencing in our world today. And I don't know about you, but this situation has not always brought the best out in me. I've experienced levels of anxiety and frustration and fear, and at times even anger, that have felt overwhelming and have caused me to think and feel and even say things that have been hurtful. Trusting in God is a lot easier to say than it is to do. These great changes and the reality that we've had a false sense of control in our lives reaches deep into our hearts and our minds. Yet, as always, there are comforting words of peace and direction from the one who does have complete control. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." In Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And in John 14:1, it says from Jesus himself, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me, believe in God, and believe also in me." As we sing this song, "Trust in You," let it be a prayer to truly lay the burdens of this day down at our Savior's feet and find a peace that we can find only in the God that we can trust.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings.
There's not a day ahead you have not seen.
Have not seen.
So in all things be my life and breath.
I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less.
When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
Amen.
Hey, Bethany, let's give a honking welcome to our young kids. We are so glad to see you here today. It's amazing. In today's lesson, we are going to hear about how our Heavenly Father loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to take away our sins. You get a free pass. Looks a little like this. Got a free pass. Isn't that great? When we mess up, we have a free pass to be forgiven for our mistakes. Honk if you think that's the best gift ever. Yeah. So I asked some of our young folks to text me with some of the mistakes they make. They're probably fairly predictable. We have a couple folks that leave their laundry on the floor. We have a couple folks that don't clean up their messes. For me, it was picking on my brothers and sisters when I was young. And now it's just not being the me that I could really be if I tried hard enough, you know? I don't really treat my neighbors the way I should. And so I wonder, do you know how you know when you're doing something wrong? How did you know that leaving a mess in the house or not picking up your laundry was the wrong thing to do? Well, you know you're coming to church, so you know that our Bible is our guide. But I don't know about you, this is a pretty big book. And some of you are just learning how to read. So how do you know what's in here to do right or wrong if you can't read all of it? Well, luckily we have some help, right? A couple of the ways you might learn is by coming to church, listening to Pastor Susan's message, going to Sunday school when we finally get back to Sunday school. But you know, a lot of times your heart tells you whether you're doing something wrong or not. I know that's kind of hard. We don't like to listen to our heart sometimes. But in Jeremiah 31:33, our Heavenly Father says, I will put my law in your mind. He's going to put it there. You want to read the Bible, but if you can't read yet, you know. I will write it on your heart. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And today, we want to be especially grateful for our dads. They do so much for us. And I've got a couple shout-outs to dads. We've got a couple dads out there who do laundry for their kids. Woohoo! Good job, dads! We've got some dads that drive their kids to sporting events and stay and watch them play games with their friends when we're not in this mess, right? We've got dads that take kids out for ice cream at Smiley's. Yes! We've got dads that take kids on trips in their great big trucks. We have some amazing dads. And you know why else they're important? Because one of their most important jobs is helping us learn how to live and love like Jesus did. When you mess up, sometimes we all mess up, does your dad still love you? Honk if your dad still loves you when you mess up. Okay, then. I was a little worried there for a second. Does he forgive you when you mess up? All right, good. Now I have a really big question. If your dad still loves you and he forgives you, does that mean it's okay to keep messing up without even trying to do better? No, of course not. Today's lesson is about trying to keep your free pass unused. Keep it safely stored away in that secret place so that when you need it, it's there. But we're going to try to live like Jesus asked us to live every single day so we don't need this pass. That's what's going to bring us the peace and joy in our heart, is to leave that pass as clean as possible. When Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? His response was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself, to love those people around you, whether they're close by or far away. That's a pretty big order. And that's the one we have to work on. when you try very hard to live your best life, not your sister or brother's best life, not your mom or dad's best life, but your best life, you're going to have some amazing surprises waiting for you. And that's a promise. Thanks for coming. Remember to try each and every day to be your best. And even if you mess up sometimes, we love you. God loves you. And your dads love you. One more time, let's honk to say Happy Father's Day.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 1b through 11. What then are we to say? Should we continue to sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us have been baptized in Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Good morning and happy Father's Day to all of our dads. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we have heard your word that comes to us through your Apostle Paul. And it stirs up some consternation. Lord, we wonder, have we died to sin? And yet we keep trying. So Lord, be with us as we consider what it is we do that is pleasing in your eyes. Be with us in our meditations. Be with me in my message. May my message be your message. Amen. I hope that everyone's having a happy Father's Day and that God blesses all of our fathers out there, and not just biological fathers, but also all of those who have been our fathers in the faith, those who have helped us understand our faith better and grow in Christ. And I think of some of the folks who have pointed the way for me and made an example for me to follow through their lives about what was possible when we dare to live up to that title of Christian. Now, sometimes we use the expression, I'm dying for something. Like, you know, I'm dying for a cold drink right now. I'm dying for a break from the humidity. Or I'm dying to take part in a big old church supper where we can all shake hands and hug one another. You with me there? I hear it. Oh, yeah. But, of course, we know it's hyperbole. We know that we're not going to die for an ice-cold Coke. We're not going to die for a meal or for a chance to break bread together if it means our life. And maybe, well, with over 2 million cases of COVID-19 in the U.S. and so many deaths, that phrase now has an eerie ring to it. But our scripture today is about life and death. And in this letter to the Romans, Paul talks about dying to sin when we are baptized. Our old self, he says, is crucified as Christ was crucified. And just as Jesus was resurrected from death into life, we too shall be lifted out of sin and resurrected into new life. The only problem is that often we stumble right back into sin. especially if we rely on our own strength to pull ourselves out of the muck and the mire. Well, I heard this story about a terrible roommate. We'll call him John. And John was the kind of guy who left piles of his dirty underwear in the bathroom on the floor. He would turn off the stereo while he was lying in the upper bunk with his toes. He would talk disparagingly about other guys' girlfriends. And he liked to work up a sweat playing racquetball and then come back to his room and plop down on his roommate's bed while he was all sweaty and gross and take a nap before he got up and had a shower. So, in other words, he put a lot of barriers between himself and the rest of his roommates. Well, on one of his frequent afternoon naps, his roommates decided that they were going to do something. They had purchased some Lindberger cheese, and they had left it on the dashboard of a car for a day and a half so that it would get nice and soft and gooey. And then while John was sleeping, they got a paintbrush and they took some of that greasy stuff that had leaked out of the cheese and they painted it on John's mustache. And so it wasn't too long after that he woke up and he announced loudly to everyone around that this room stinks. And then he went up and got out into the hall and he said, this whole building stinks. Then he went outside to get a breath of fresh air, and when he did that, he said, the whole world stinks. Well, it wasn't long before he got used to the smell of that old cheese in his mustache. And so he went about his day no longer noticing that terrible smell, but everybody else did. Everybody else sort of stayed away from him. Everywhere he went, it was like he had a little bubble around him and nobody wanted to go near him. Even his girlfriend kept her distance. And never once did it occur to him that that stink, that problem, was right under his nose. And it's that way with sin. The problem is always right under our noses. It colors our perception of the world. It has its own unique aroma. But we often think that the problem lies outside of us, ourselves, that the problem, whatever it is something wrong with the world. We can smell other people. We can smell other people's sins. We can set ourselves up as judge and jury of all that is right or wrong, and we can feel pretty good about it. Well, it's interesting. The Revised Common Lectionary, you know, it has every Sunday, it's got a gospel reading and an epistle reading and a psalm and a Old Testament reading. And the gospel reading for today, for Father's Day, is sort of ironic, comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. And I say ironic because Jesus is preaching a message that at first glance makes it seem like Jesus is against family values. It almost sounds like Jesus is not even a fan of families. In fact, he says, do not think that I come to bring peace to the earth. I have not to come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake, we'll find it. Strong words. And these words come right after the text we looked at last week. Last week, Jesus was preparing his disciples to go out into the world. He's getting them ready to go two by two to make disciples. And so Jesus is now telling them that if they expected this to be easy, if you thought that being my student is going to be all apple pie and roses, well, you're wrong, is what he's telling them here. What is likely to happen is that people will be set against each other. Maybe your family members will not get it. Maybe they will think you're nuts. And so he says, you gotta put everything else down and pick up your cross that cross that was a symbol of humiliating death. And it seems clear to me, although Paul doesn't state it outright, that if you want to die to sin, the cross is going to be in there somewhere. You know, you've got to pick it up in order to die to sin. And if you don't die to sin, you don't get that feeling of being set free and lifted up, that amazing sense of being resurrected. If we don't try to pick up the cross, it's too tempting to hold on to everything else that we think we need that holds us back. I can remember watching my nephews, John and Mike, and Mike was maybe 3 years old, and John was about two, and at the age where he was getting into everything, and every time John picked up a toy, Mike would snatch it away and say, "That's mine." And John kept picking things up, and Mike kept taking them away from him and saying, "That's mine," until Mike's arms were so full that he couldn't hold anything else. He had to keep it all, his stuff, right there. Keep it safe. And sometimes that's how we are in our lives. You know, we have stuff, psychological baggage. I know I've got it, baggage and bundles and boxes of all kinds of stuff, and I work on putting it down to pick up the cross, and then I think that I need it again, and I drop the cross, and in my insecurity, I think that I need privilege or pride or advantage or control or authority, and so I forget that they stink with the smell of sin, and so I set down the cross and I pick up this other stuff, ready to ignore how bad it stinks. You may have heard of Rachel Held Evans. She was an author and a blogger, a wife and a mother of two small children, and she died on May 4th last year at the age of 37. And it was not just her family who mourned her, not just her friends and acquaintances, thousands of people across the nation who'd never met her face to face also felt a deep sense of loss. And that bond was formed because of what Evans had written about Christian faith in her books and her blog. She wrote honestly and openly about her particular journey of faith, and many people who read her words were inspired to think more deeply about their own spirituality and their own beliefs and their own faith in God. Christian Century called her the C.S. Lewis of our day. And in her book, Searching for Sunday, Evans spoke of the stark language that we use when we pray a prayer of confession together, when we acknowledge plainly our sinfulness. And she likened those prayers of confession to being at an AA meeting where someone will stand up at Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and say, "Hello, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic." In that way, those introductions equalize everyone at those meetings. Evans said that prayers of confession equalize worshipers in church. These prayers, said Evans, remind us that we all move through the world in the same state, broken and beloved, and that we're all in need of healing and grace. They embolden us to confess to one another not only our sins, but also our fears, our doubts, our questions, our injuries, and our pain. They give us permission to start telling the truth to one another and to believe that this strange way of living, where we speak the truth in love, is the only way to set one another free. But sometimes the church has a problem with that. Sometimes the church might feel more like a country club than an AA meeting, especially when we just sort of go through the motions of confession and then just, you know, exchange pleasantries. Perhaps it's shame or misplaced guilt that keeps us from revealing our deeper selves. When my mom was in her late 80s, we finally convinced her to hire Edna. Edna was going to help her with the house cleaning. And since my mom was at the time very arthritic and very frail, this was a good thing. This was personal growth on her part. This was progress. But I remember calling her on the phone one day And she said she didn't have time to talk. So I said, well, what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm cleaning house. I said, well, I thought Edna was cleaning the house for you. Oh, I need to clean before she gets here. I don't want her to think we're messy people. That impulse to clean before Edna showed up came from a place of not wanting to expose to the world the abomination of the crumbs in the couch cushions and the hair-clogged shower drains. Maybe you know someone like that. You got to keep the outside looking good. We got to represent ourselves as looking picture perfect. But think of church as those advertisements you see where there's a before and an after picture. And we often think of church as a place for the after picture, folks. But it's not. It's a place for the before picture, folks. We think church is for good people, but church is for resurrected people. People who can drop the baggage and the bundles and the boxes and try to pick up the cross. It's for people who are looking for meaning in their lives because living in a world that is centered on themselves is no longer adequate, and holding up a picture of some kind of perfect life on Instagram is no longer sustainable. We need to be real with God and one another. And whether we actually say these words or not, we come before God with this AA-type statement, my name is Susan and I'm a sinner. And God responds with, your name is beloved and you are redeemed. And I will wash you clean and make you new and lift you up to new life. And that promise is for every one of us. God calls us beloved, redeemed, saved. Amen. Well, at this time, just a quick reminder that if you have a prayer concern, and this goes for whether you're watching this on Facebook Live or you're here, you can text your prayer concern to 540-495-0501. And I will lift that up when we're doing our pastoral prayer. Also, you know that there are a couple of stations for dropping off the offering. And so we appreciate that. We also are so thankful for everyone who gives through our e-giving channels. Let us take a moment to bless all that has been given. Lord, we give you thanks for all of those who have worked hard to make this service a reality. Lord, you know we're in new territory, treading new water, but we give thanks that you are with us in the midst of us. Lord, we ask that you bless all of those who helped prepare for this, all of those who gave in whatever way they gave. So bless all that has been offered to make this place holy ground where we might worship you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. We have a few announcements. You may have heard that the Bums are not going on their mission trip because things are, with the virus, are really heating up in North Carolina. But they are looking for opportunities to serve right here in this area. So if you know of someone who needs a ramp or some painting done or yard work or anything like that, please let Sean Cook know. He would appreciate that very greatly. We will be continuing this for a little while longer, as hopefully we'll get to stage three and we can do a little more. I'm also looking for people to be on the health team. We have to have a health team gathered together in order to come back to in-person worship. And I'm getting a lot of no's. So if I call you, just remember that if everybody says no, we got a problem. Because we have to, that's one of the things we have to have in order to get back to indoor worship. And I'm assuming we don't have any other announcements. So let us prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer. Oh God, from you we have learned what a father is meant to be. meant to be strong and loving, someone who guides us in the ways that we ought to go. And so today we honor all of those who have taken on the mantle of fatherhood, whether they have children of their own or they have been spiritual guides to others. We are thankful for them. We ask that you would be with those who mourn this day. We ask that you would give them comfort and give them hope in the power of the resurrection to bring new life here in this life and in the next as well. This morning, we give you thanks for all of those who taught us to play fair and encouraged us to give our very best in all that we do. Lord, we give you thanks for those who showed us that gentleness is the proof of real strength. Lord, as we come together, as we live through these times that are like none other that have been known, give us the strength to do what is right, to care for those who are weak, to love those that we may not even like. Lord, give us the strength to pick up the cross. Show us what it is we need to put down so that we can do that very thing. Help us to let go of what does not serve us and does not serve you. And help us to pick up what draws us near to you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill us with the Holy Spirit and help us to be a living witness to what it means to live in Christ. In his name I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our last song today is Great is Thy Faithfulness, a wonderful hymn of our church that has encouraging and powerful words for today.
As we prepare to go forth from this place, may you be blessed by the God who calls us to put down the baggage and pick up the cross and discover new life, more abundant life. Amen.